All right, preacher, let's see here. It's only 7:15 in Alabama. All right. Amen. So we got plenty of time. And thank you so much. We've enjoyed the mission conference. And like Brother Cooley said, we enjoyed the lodging. And the meals have been excellent. The fellowship's been great. And I enjoyed Preacher King. I tell you what. And I was telling the preacher, I said, you know, of all of it, I've worked with your pastor on the anchor desk, but this week I've got to know him in a different way. And so I really appreciate his burden. To me, you have a champion of a pastor and a pastor's wife. Amen. I tell you what, thank God for you. And we appreciate you. And Dr. Spivey back there, he and Nancy, and we've known each other for many a year. And Dr. Runyon, this April will be 3 years. He went home to be with the Lord. And so I was Egypt and Kenya, and Dr. Spivey was in Mexico. And then when Dr. Runyon passed away, and the radio came into our lap. And so it's been a whirlwind of a learning process. And I appreciate Dr. Spivey as the vice president of IBOM. And then plus Mexico, honestly, when you think about the burden and the desire God puts in a man's heart, and he's always had that fire, the fervency, the zeal for Mexico, and I appreciate that in him. But he's done a great job with the general manager, amen, of the radio station, and we did that. How long has it been now? About 2 years? Been 2 years? Yeah. Yes, sir, 2 years ago, and this will be our sixth Share-a-thon. And he lines up all the preachers and anchor desk and all of that and singers. And so anyway, I just come in and enjoy everything. And he does a great job, and we're moving forward and advancing and the Lord's blessing. And you can see there on the logo there, and I got to get the new one. We just got to 107.163. I get it right. But anyway, all amen. And so a lot of things we're enlarging our borders and our coasts and our listening audience. I think it's a 3 million people circumference, and I tell you, it's exciting. But IBOM, of course, located in Asheville, North Carolina. These are two Bible verses. Really, I said the other morning when I was preaching Jeremiah 33:3, I said, 333, you can put that in your cell phone. That's God's telephone number. Call unto me, I'll answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not of. Paul in the storm of Euroclodon, Acts 27:25, said, be a good cheer, sirs, for I believe God. Now notice the antecedent, that it shall be even as it was told me. So we have faith based on the word of God. So we take the promises of God's word and we pray them and we believe them. Jesus said, believe ye that I am able to do this. When you think about Africa, you think about the safari. Don't get your guns, fellas. Amen. But I love, if I have time, when you go into the safari, and I've ate probably a few of them fellas there. Amen. The ostrich, everybody says, how's the ostrich taste? Well, chicken's pretty good. Amen. But anyway, we always enjoy going out into the safari there in West Kenya. Food and fellowship. Amen. So food is a little different in a lot of places there. But anyway, we finally, down at the bottom there, we had a lady to give us $2,000. We built a beautiful kitchen there, got 3 potbelly stoves, amen. And they can feed 5,000 people in one day there, amen. And so they got it down to a science. You can see them big old pots there. And we're 479 church plants, 9 Bible college training centers, and that gives you the locations of that. Our goal, 500 church plants. And Dr. Spivey and myself, and Dr. Murray, of course, here was last night. And, our goal, and Dr. Runyon, and, of course, Dr. Bud Lance, home of the Lord. And but anyway, we're right at the door, 21 more church plants, and you'll hear me shout all the way from Winder, Georgia. Amen. And you'll think, what was that? And so anyway, just pray that, hey, I'd like to see us do that, in the next, this year. Here, of course, Dr. Runyon, the founder of IBOM, and there's a radio station, Dr. Spivey there, as general manager, vice president, field missionary for Mexico. He carries a lot of hats. Amen. And then my wife, Teresa, and I, and we'll be celebrating 47 years, August the 10th, and married her in the 11th grade. Don't you get any ideas, all right? And I married her in the 11th grade, and, she chased me, and so I wilted. Amen. And, here are some of the staff there at the radio station there, the King's Radio Network. We appreciate them, and they really work hard at it. Pray for the brother Joel there and his mother. Of course, the funeral today, Dr. Spivey and I were there, and be sure and pray for that family. Now, we have 8 granddaughters, if you look up here, and we have all girls, no boys. And one day, maybe our middle daughter, Rachel's pregnant. But anyway, Haley and Brindley and Angela and Kenley, and then Mackenzie and Riley and Casey. Down on the bottom there is our newest one, little Oakley. And so that's 8 girls, and then Rachel's pregnant. And we don't know. They won't tell us yet. But anyway, maybe it'll be a boy. I don't know. And, 3 daughters and a wife and 8 girl grandbabies. No wonder my hair is falling out. Amen. And so anyway, I call them, I say it's drama. And we live in the drama house. And when they all come over. But anyway, no, we have a lot of fun. Amen. And here is Nairobi, and if you look at the top part right here, on the left side there, we, Dr. Runyon, myself, and Brother Smith, we took and raised 52,000, let's see here, 52,400, bought the property there, size of a football field, and so in time, we're going to take, and we're moving the tent over now, the walls are up, the gate's up, and so anyway, we're on the bottom right-hand side, will be the church building there in time and the Bible college graduation there. But we have about 10 church plants around that area, Menangia. And so anyway, the Lord's blessing it. It's growing. And so anyway, we need, there's a lot of work to be done in that area. Now, here, Dr. Runyon on the bottom left here, I was working in Egypt for 10 years and 37 church plants, Bible college. And he and I worked Egypt together, and then, of course, the Lord burdened my heart for Kenya. And if you'll notice, our church started in March of 2000. And so, you can see the age of the ministry, and God's blessing it. We've been working the infrastructure of that. So the church there is in Malaba. If you fly to Nairobi, you get on a plane, and then you'll fly to Eldoret. Eldoret, you'll drive 4 hours to Bungoma. Bungoma, you'll come to Malaba. Amen. And so anyway, but Dr. Anthony Ekikopi on the top left there, he and his wife Christian, and he is our main, our representative there. You can see on the inside of the church there, and down at the bottom there, some of the crowds there. This right here was the burden that I had for last year in the midst of COVID. In my prior journal, I asked the Lord to help us to build the Bible College building. And so anyway, you can see it there in the making. And then right here is now, of course, the completed, the Bible College there. And so you can see in a month and a half up here calling to me, I'll answer thee, show thee great mighty things. In a month and a half, God give us a $61,500. And God can do it. Amen. And actually, in the stormy Rockladon, be a good cheer, search for I believe God. So it's 80 feet long, 40 foot wide. It has 5 classrooms in it. And then it has, one of the things too, is that they built the desk. And then, of course, down here, some of the Bible college teachers. Then over there, of course, Dr. Akiko's office there. Providence Baptist College, our ministry is out of the Northwest Bible Baptist Church, Dr. Keith Gomez. We're under the umbrella of his church. And then but our college there, Providence Baptist College. And then right here is the library. Dr. Jerry Clark, he was the one that worked with Dr. Harold B. Sider for 17 years. He called me one day and he said, I want you to have my library. And I thought, well, me, praise God. No, it wasn't for me. And so the one on the top right up there, 1,000 volumes. And then I had a preacher in South Carolina. His son passed away. And he told me, he called me and he said, I want you to have my library. And so 1,500 volumes. And then what I put in there, I took out probably about 500, 800 volumes from my own library. And we have a 3,000 volume library. I cut my teeth on good men of God, Dr. Harold B. Sider, Dr. Oliver B. Green, other good men of the Lord. And so, they're able to come. Our college is set up. They come in a week out of the month. They study 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Then on Saturday, they go back to their ministry and be there on Sunday. So that is exciting. We thank the Lord for it, to help to train the national pastors there. We have 4 Bible college dorms. We have 200 beds. And that was another burden that the Lord answered the prayers. And so we built those. You can see the mosquito nets, top and bottom bunk. And so we have 4 Bible college dorms, 200 beds. When the preachers come in, they'll have a place to stay. The van at the top, the one at the bottom. And I had a church in North Carolina to give me $20,000. And we bought that van there. We have 2 vans. And then, of course, these are some of the graduations there. Because of the COVID, we hadn't had the one in Malaba. And so anyway, you can see training national pastors for the ministry. Of course, right here at the top there, we put in, of course, soul winning memory books. And then at the bottom there, Dr. Coral designed a soul winning manual in Swahili. And so we put in 200 of those last year. And so you can see them holding up that. I love young people, amen. I love youth. I used to be one, amen. But this right here gives you the, every December we would have our youth conference. In August we have our campaign where we bring in all 195 church plants. And all of these are young people. We've had as many as 3,000 young people there in those meetings, and that's 2019. We did not have the one there, this past year in 2020. Discipleship, I was mentored by good men of God, the man that preached the day I got saved, Brother Barrett, then Dr. Garland Oldham ordained me in 1977, then I went under Dr. Harold B. Seidler for 6 years, worked for Oliver B. Green. So good men of God mentored my life, and there's Dr. Jerry Clark, his library. And then, of course, down here at the bottom, 100 Schofield Study Bibles, Dr. Melvin Aiken commentaries there that he gives. I just got 5 more sets of his books for the container. This right here, I was standing before 1,800 people, and I heard Dr. King talking about it last night. And I asked him, I said, how many of you have a Bible? And only 100 people raised their hand and said they had a Bible. Broke my heart. I begin to weep and pray, and I come back to America, and I told Dr. Runyon, I said, I have stepped out by faith, and I told the African people, I said, we're going to get you a Bible. And I said, I don't know where to get Bibles. I don't know how to ship a container. I don't know how much it costs to ship a container, but I stepped out on faith, amen. I got out of the boat, and I let go of the rope, amen. And so I got to walk on water. But anyway, in 6 months, the Lord give me 41,300 King James Bibles. And so anyway, we shipped it over there. And down here at the bottom, preacher, is when our people got Bibles for the first time. You said it. Do you remember when you got your first Bible? And those people there crying, thanking God for a copy of the Word of God. All our Bibles come from Bible Literature Missionary Foundation, and Dr. King knows Dr. Lamont very well. The man that's the president now, his dad, helped start Bearing Precious Seed. We were talking about he and I think at the hotel. But anyway, right here is when they're praying over the container, and then, of course, it comes into our church. What we do is that it takes $14,000 to the container to come from America to Mombasa on this side of Africa, across Africa. We pay a little bit more to bring it all the way to the church. And then what happens, our church becomes, in other words, the housing. Now the college will house a lot of that. And so anyway, right there, we put in 2017, 27,000 more Bibles. In 2018, we put in 20,296 Bibles, 1 million gospel tracts, fellowship tract lead. We put in 23,000 New Testaments, and of course, 100 Schofields. In 2019, we put in another 1,500 volumes. We put in 25,000 more Bibles, 1,080,000 tracts. And you think about it, His Word will not return void. Amen. And in 1 year, before COVID, our nationals in 1 year gave out 1 million gospel tracts. Amen. And so they're ardent soul winners. And you can see the tents there. You can see the Bibles coming in. And there they are, and everybody getting a copy of the Word of God. That's in the August campaign. This right here was in May of 2020. This was number 8 Bible container. And we put in 15,000 more Bibles, 54,000 New Testaments, another 100 Schofield study Bibles. And then over here, my oldest grandbaby, Casey, she said, "Papa, I want to go help load a container." And they're going again next month. We're going to load another one. And so anyway, they helped us load it up last year in May. And then right here in August of last year, preacher, amidst COVID, right here, you look down here, all here, the container came in, they unloaded it, and these are some of the pastors carrying Bibles back to their churches. That's the importance. In other words, you have the missionary, and the churches has been started, and then thank God for First Bible, and Barren Precious Seed, Fellowship Tract Lead. All these ministers have print Bibles, print tracts. It is such a necessity for missionaries. Amen. And so anyway, that's, of course, August of 2020. And right here you can see, of course, Dr. Goldman's preaching there. See the sea of Bibles, people holding up Bibles there. Dr. C.W. Fisk, people holding up Bibles. And Dr. Fisk preached there on a Sunday morning. He almost died on me the night before. I had to go to 5 witch doctor pharmacies to get stuff to help him. And his bowel shut down, kidneys locked up. And it was a sad situation. But then that Sunday morning, he didn't miss it. And he preached, and 156 walked the aisle for salvation. And right here, you can see again the sea of Bibles there. You can see them on the inside, people getting Bibles. This right here is people lined up to get saved. And wouldn't you like to see that in America? Oh, listen, hey, I've seen as many as 1,000 people saved on a given Sunday in all those big campaigns. But here they are, just lined up, coming forward. It's nothing to see 100, see 200 people saved. And we'll have a lot of big crowds. And then right here, this is called the infrastructure. If you look closely there, you do not see a Mzungu. And a Mzungu means a white man. And what happened, they had the riots and the election. People were being shot. People were being killed. And Dr. Ekiko called me and told me, and he said, "Don't come." He said, "We're afraid that you'll get hurt." And so anyway, I asked Dr. Runyon, and he said, "Well," he said, "if a seasoned veteran man, pastor, tells you not to come, you better not go." And so I didn't go. So anyway, we counseled the meetings, and then they called me back, and Dr. Echo said, "All the pastors, even though you can't come, we want to have the meeting." And they put all this meeting on by themselves. That's the infrastructure. Whether I am there or not there, this goes on without me. And so anyway, that's the fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and then the remaining fruit that goes on. One of the burdens we had was to purchase 14 gospel tents. And so the Lord has given us 14 gospel tents, and then we bought 1,000 chairs, and all these tents are put in that's a big courtyard, and we put all those tents like in a square. We preach on this side here, and many times there'll be as many as 6,000 people to come in and for the meetings there. You can see some of the crowds. There's 2 tents, and then down at the bottom, record numbers there. Then here, You know, one of the things that we do in helping to train national pastors and then for them to become indigenous, we support them for 3 years only. At the end of the 3 years, of course, in that maybe the first year, and we try to get them into a little building. And right here you'll see 25 church buildings. All of these pastors right here, these are indigenous pastors self-supporting. And they've taught their church to tithe, to give offerings. And so anyway, you can see every one of them. Of course, they have their buildings. And some of the, you know, these are the dedication services. And then right here is 25 more. And so there's 50 church buildings. And the burden, the goal, and the desire, and what God's doing. But so that's 50 church buildings. Then right here, I didn't have time, but on Nambele over here on the bottom left, that church building is finished. I got it today. Sunday, they dedicated the church in Nambele, Kenya, and had 64 people got saved. Sunday, amen, while I was here preaching, hallelujah. And if you'll notice these here right here, and on the bottom here, they don't have the crowds in the front because of the COVID restrictions there in Uganda. And so, but anyway, our goal right now, that's 75 church buildings, including the one with Malaba, that's 76. And so we are praying in time, of course, you know, in the next 2 years, we'll have 100 church buildings built, helping national pastors reach the indigenous position in the three-year commitment. These are the 8 church buildings. In my prayer journal in 2018, God laid on my heart for 8 church buildings. And so, you know, to pray into $80,000 to do that. And then right here in 2019, the Lord burned my heart for 9 church buildings. And we built 9 church buildings. And so that gives you, you know, my desire, you know, in praying. And Dr. Spivey, he has burdens, and God manifests his power and provisions and things they're doing in Mexico right now. And this right here, in 2020, we didn't get to build but 5 church buildings and the Bible College building. And then we shipped the container of Bibles last year, and so we were able to build 5. This right here, the Nancy Andy and the church building there. And down here on the bottom, I haven't pointed it out, but down here on the bottom, this right here is Nandarima. Now what happened is this brother here, Brother Martin, came out of Nandarima, an indigenous church. We have 67 grandchildren church plants. And so our churches that are going indigenous are starting churches, amen. And so that's the blessing and the power of multiplication. And that's the reason why we're 195 church plants. Bumu Shizo, and that's the one there in Uganda. And then Elwadubi. And Elwadubi, of course, you see the church he come out of on the right-hand side. And then there's his church building there. Okisimo. And Okisimo there. And let's see here, come out of Lapida. And but anyway, a lot of them I have the dates are going to be indigenous. And so anyway, that's a 3-year commitment. And they know they have a timeline that they got to work hard. They got to train. They got to go soul winning and disciple. And so they have a 3-year window. And so in that 3-year window, we try to get that church building built. They do their part. We do our part. But that's Okisimo. And this was Nambele and Pastor Worm. I wish I could have shown you the pictures. Man, they had, like I say, 64 people got saved. And all them people there holding up Bibles, everybody got a copy of the Word of God there in Nambele. And Bumaru, that's one of the churches in Uganda. And that would be that one's going to be built here in the next few months. And then right here, the one in Nabwere, that one will be built. And then here in Buyenzi, and we have all the funds that have been sent over for these church buildings already. And so the one in Buyenzi, and then right here, Ria Magongo. And so anyway, Brother Kennedy, matter of fact, tomorrow, Vicky will wire the money to Dr. Ekoko for this church plant. And then, of course, Buyenzi's already over there. And then at Japar, we've already wired the money over to build this church building. And so anyway, all these will be We'll be building them as moving forward. All these national pastors right here, we are working with them this year into next year. And so, of course, by the end of the year and probably the first of the year, we want to have all these church buildings built and helping national pastors reach that indigenous position. This is our goal. Right now, we're 195. We want to be 200. And then our goal is 76 church buildings built. Our goal is to be 100. And then you can support a national pastor for $100 a month. We build the buildings anywhere from 9,000. We have went all the way up to 19,000. I got two that we got to work with that are $30,000 projects because the land's gone up. And so anyway, you know, when you think about faith promise missions, and the Lord, you know, many times, you know, I told you the other day, I think Sunday morning when God laid on my heart to take and to start supporting national pastors myself. I can preach it. I can get people to do it. And the Lord said, all right, I want you to step out by faith and take on three national pastors. And I did that. The top three there, you'll find there, all of them have their buildings now. And then when they became indigenous, what we did is that we just went ahead and took on three more. And then they have their buildings. And now down here in Buchimo, Brother Dan, he has his building, and they have their buildings. And so anyway, we're taking and moving forward. And as soon as I get those on the bottom indigenous, well, then we're going to take on three more. Amen. And so, you know, that's faith and trust and belief and watching God do the impossibility. These are our goals in 2021, and we wanted to build the Bible College building, and God gave us the funds to do that. We put in five computers, overhead projectors, printer, copier there in the office, 43 tables, 258 chairs, and then ship number 8 Bible container, and then we're going to be shipping number 9 Bible container. Dr. Lamont's already given us 25,000 Bibles, and then we're going to take and ship in another 100 Schofields. We've got another large number of commentaries that's going in. But anyway, all that will be going in next month. And then down here, we're praying for 10 new church plants. And so anyway, in 2020, the Lord enabled us to start 7. And so, you know, we're working on the ones for this year. We've already, like I said down here, we've built 5 church buildings in 2020, and then the August campaign cost $10,000. Our part's $5,000, their part's $5,000. And so anyway, we'll stop right there. Amen. I'll leave that up right there. All right. Take your Bible. I won't be long, probably about 15 minutes. Amen. What that does, preachers, we take on a national pastor $100 a month, and we commit for 3 years. And so what we do is we're under the recommendation of Dr. Ekiko and the men that has come through the Bible College, been trained, and they are ready to start church plants. Some of them, you know, they'll start them even while they are in Bible College. And so what they do, they come under IBOM, and we try to get, you know, individuals, churches, take them on, commit for 3 years. And then in that first year, we try to take and, you know, many times churches will take on a national, and then a lot of times people want to build the church building, but they don't want to support a national. And so we kind of piecemeal it together. And so all of these men that you saw have been supported $100 a month for 3 years. And then in the first year, I try to, you know, we want to make sure they've been, you know, under Dr. Ekiko's wisdom and knowing the men better than I. And so when he says, you know, they're ready for the building, and you know, they got a good nucleus, things are looking good, they've proven themselves, well, then we'll take it and try to get them into the building. That advances them way ahead of time to help, you know, have an identity. And so that's the way we do it there in Africa. All right. Your Bible's open. Let's let you stand. I know you're probably wore out. Amen. Sitting. And I take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 14. I didn't get to preach on Acts Sunday. I preached on prayer. But anyway, I want to read one verse of Scripture, and then we'll come back and begin. And thank you again, Pastor, for letting us be a part in the mission meeting. And thank you, missionaries, for being here, pastors, for being here. Thank you, church, amen, for your faithfulness and all the good testimonies and good singing that we've enjoyed. We've been blessed, and thank you so much. But I like Acts chapter 14, verse 26, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended. And notice the Bible says, for the work. You know, every one of these missionaries, there's a work, the work of God. He's called them, you pastors and evangelists. And the work that God's given you, there's no big I's and little U's here. The work, the Bible says, notice he says, for the work. But then notice what he says, which they fulfilled. They fulfilled. Paul said there in Acts 20, to the Ephesian elders, he says, pray that I might finish. In other words, the course. 7 years later, he says there, when he wrote 2 Timothy, around AD 67, many believe, he said, I have finished my course. And so you find here, the Bible said, for the work which they fulfilled, we don't need quitters or shirkers. We need workers. And we find that Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter number 3, that there were 42 groups of workers from all walks of life. And you know how they put their hand to the plow of the will of God. And in 52 days, what was accomplished for the glory of God. And so we see here, for the work which they fulfilled, you know, I'm challenged really, and Dr. Spivey and all the physical problems he's faced, he doesn't have that quitter spirit. He has that forbearance. And you know, the Bible said here, for the work which they fulfill. Our Lord said, he said, I must be about my Father's business. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore my sin. He must needs go through Samaria. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, and the night cometh when no man can work. But notice in verse 27, I just did this. I just watched you, what you saw here just for the few moments, this is what I just did in verse 27. The Bible said here, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, here you are, the church together. And notice the Bible said, and the Bible said they rehearsed. I was in rehearsal. I was just in rehearsal. Hallelujah. And the Bible said it, they rehearsed. Notice what it says. All that God. Not about IBOM. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Amen. And they rehearsed. The Bible said all that God had done. Now notice the preposition here. Notice the preposition. Because when you go to Luke 24, it said the Lord working with them. I love to see God working with others. I love to see the hand of God upon people. And the anointing, the unction, and the sanction of heaven, the smile of God, and all having the ear of the Almighty. But I like the Lord to work with me. And the Bible said here, rehearse all that God had done with them. And then the Bible said how he'd opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time. Father, in Jesus' name, help us tonight. Want to be a blessing to thy people. I pray God should bless these missionaries, help them, enable them, Lord, in their support, endeavor, the burden you've given them. And these pastors, Lord, thank you, Lord, for their faith and their love and obedience to the Great Commission. And our Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter number 8. And but you know, let me show you something here before I get into that. Go to John chapter number, let's see here, I'll find it in a second. And I believe it's here in chapter, let's see, I know it's in here. Amen. Yes, I was looking at it. I got too many notes in my Bible, can't see. And look in John 11. And you know, it's this right here, John chapter number 11, look at it. I'm going to come back to Acts 8 in a moment. And we're in no hurry. I got to drive home tonight, so I got all night to preach. Amen. And you'll be asleep, amen, while I'm driving. But notice the Bible said that the Lord, and here the Bible said, of course, Jesus wept, verse 35. But if you come to verse 38, and Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, and it was a cave. Now, I've been to Israel 16 times. I've been, of course, you know, where they would say would be Lazarus' tomb. And went over inside of it and went inside the tomb and looked back this way. And the Bible said here that a stone lay upon him. Now Jesus said, take ye away the stone. He's talking to them. Take ye away the stone. Take the stone away. And then Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 3 days. Now notice in verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe. Now let me ask you a question. My whole message was about, you know, open thy mouth wide, and God said I'd fill it, the wide open mouth. Believe you that I'm able to do this. I think one of the killing effects among God's people is that of doubt and unbelief in the ability of God. God did it yesteryear. He can't do it today. In the immutability of God, God hasn't changed. Amen. But notice the Bible said, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now notice right here, then they took away the stone from the place. Could it be tonight that we've got to remove the stone before the miracles can take place? Maybe it's a stone of unbelief or doubt. And the Lord is wanting you to see some great and mighty things. The Lord is wanting you to see. Hey, when Dr. Runyon asked me to take over Africa, there in West Kenya, I told him, God ain't in it for me. And, you know, then later on, you know, he used to chuckle and laugh. And he said, you know, if God's really in this thing, just think what he would do. Amen. And, you know, and so, but you look back now and you see the 76 church buildings and you see the 9 containers of Bibles and you see the fruit. And so, but yet the stone had to be removed in my own life before I could see a great miracle of God take place by the stones. But I just want to throw that out to you. But go to the book of Acts, chapter number 8 now. And we notice here that, of course, that we find that Peter and John, and notice in chapter number 8, of course, after the stoning of Stephen, then we come to Acts, chapter number 8. Of course, the key verse there, Acts 1:8, and witnesses unto me both at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. And we find that Philip's gone down into Samaria. And then, of course, he'll conclude in Azotus later. But notice one thing that I want you to see. In verse 25, here's Peter and John. After Samaria had received the word of God, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem. And notice this is the first time the word gospel is mentioned in the book of Acts. And the Bible said there, they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And so they're going through all of these villages. And, of course, they are preaching, of course, the gospel. And then we come to chapter number 9, after the conversion of Saul. And, of course, we believe Saul got saved about AD 36, martyred AD 68. That would have been his ministry covered 32 years of time. And you think about it, beloved, 32 years of ministry, and if Acts 19, AD 56, when the church of Ephesus was born, AD 96, when the book of Revelation was written, the church of Ephesus, Revelation 2:5, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast what? Left thy first love. If you take AD 56, subtract it from 96, it only took 40 years for the church of Ephesus to leave their first love. I've been saved since 1973, preaching since 74. Where are we at today? Have we abated? Have we receded? Have we abandoned? My friend, listen. Well, but Saul, notice with me. Look at Acts 9:31. Can we go to midnight? Amen. But in verse 31, notice it said, then had the churches, plural. Not singular, but plural now. Then had the churches rest. Notice it said throughout the region. The Bible said here, it said in Judea, Galilee, Samaria. If you go down to verse number 32, you'll find Lydda. And 20 miles east of Joppa, if you come to Sharon and the valley of a plain of Sharon in verse 35, you'll find that each place is here. If you go into verse 41, he talks about the saints. He talks about that in verse number 42. He talks about many believe. And so, my friend, people were being saved, and more than likely, churches were being started. But then, as we go walk through this here quickly, and we notice in Acts chapter number 11, go to Acts 11 and verse number, go to verse 20 for sake of time. And of course we know that Saul got saved, and the book of Galatians defines that. Chapter 1, Saul got saved. He was on the road to Damascus, you know, in haste like a madman. Letters in his hand, 21 attributes in the book of Acts, how cruel and mean he was. Oh, my friend, they were in fear in Damascus. Saul's coming. And boy, there he is, 150 miles in haste, headed there. I've been close to Damascus in Syria, and there he's coming. Everybody's afraid. Lock your doors, get in the house. Saul's coming. And then all of a sudden, there was a light. In Acts 9, it was a light. In Acts 22, he talks about that it was a great light. Acts 22:6, it says the glory of that light. Acts 26, it says the light above the S-U-N. It was the S-O-N, amen. And Saul, he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And old Saul got saved. And we notice Ananias, he's a chosen vessel. Unto me. Your witness is unto me. I'm an ambassador. I'm a representative. I'm a witness. We're witnesses. Throughout the book of Acts are five qualifications of a witness. I can't get into that. But anyway, it's in Acts. We're witnesses. Unto me. To bear my name. He said before the Jews. Number two, kings. Number three, he said Gentiles. Three categories must include all three. But we find that, oh, listen, there he is in Damascus. He preaches a deity of Christ, that Jesus is the very Son of God. And oh, listen, Jews, our Damascene Jews, they got mad and upset. And all they laid in wait, 2 Corinthians 11 talks about, they're going to kill him. Well, what happens? They led him down by a basket through a window. And boy, he comes to Jerusalem. He didn't get to see all the apostles there. But all this in 15 days he's there. And then what happened? The Grecian Jews are going to kill him there. And then they bring him down to Caesarea. They put him on a ship. Then he travels to Tarsus, Syria, and Cilicia. We call it the silent years of Paul's life. 5 to 8 years there he is. And then all of a sudden there's a move of God. Oh, I love to be around when God's moving and God's searching and God's dealing and God's manifesting himself. Well, the Bible said, look in Acts chapter, where am I at? 11, yeah. Go to Acts 11, verse 20. And some of them which were men of Cyprus, Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch. And they're preaching, the Bible said they spake unto the Grecians. Now notice the church of Antioch, number one, in the attributes. Boy, it was preaching, amen. Boy, I like preaching missionaries. I like preaching, amen. I love teaching, but I like preaching, hallelujah. And the Bible said preaching. Well, what were they preaching? The Bible said the Lord Jesus. You can't improve on the Lord Jesus, amen. And then notice the Bible said in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, notice the Bible said again, was, preposition, with them. Amen? With them. Boy, we want the hand of God with us. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible said the hand of the Lord's with them. And not only they were preaching, and then they were sowing him. And a great number believed. I like one to get saved. But I love to see on the PowerPoint 100 line up to get saved, amen. I love to see. Now, I'm against decisional regeneration. I'm against it. We will say easy believism. I love contrition, conviction, and remorse. My friend of sin, amen. Now, I didn't know how to be saved. All I said, brother, was God save me. I didn't know anything about terminology. I didn't know anything about all the terms. I was working for Oliver B. Green, first year Bible college. I knew I was saved. I knew what God did for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I knew I'd been regenerated, knew I'd been justified, sanctified, sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. I knew all of that. But I still didn't know all them terms. I was learning. And back in the back of my mind, you know, it seemed like old devil's trying to make me doubt. But I knew what God did for me. I knew what the Lord did for me. The day I got saved, them two packs of cigarettes left, the marijuana left, the cocaine left, the MDA left, the mescaline left, the thievery left. I could go on. The Meyer pills left. I was on Viagra and Librium like candy. And God healed me and saved me the same time. But all I said was, God save me. Boy, I was working for Oliver B. Green. I turned on the radio, little trailer we lived on property. Boy, come out. I listened. Greetings, friends across America. This is evangelist Oliver B. Green. Boy, there he went. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, well, I did that, and believeth on him, God that sent Jesus hath everlasting life. And I, boy, my antennas went up spiritually. I said, there it is. I did that, hallelujah. And from that day, my friend, I've always had that assurance. Amen. So don't send people to hell over terminology. Amen. But anyway, all right now. So we find, notice, they're sowing. But then the Bible said, look at verse 21, the hand of the Lord is with them, a great number believed, turned to the Lord. But then verse 23, did you know churches have ears? They do. Then, notice he said, tidings. Tidings, notice he said, these things. What is these things? The Bible said tidings are these things. Came into the ears of the church with Jerusalem. Then what happened? They said, we got to have a delegate. Barnabas, you're a pillar in the church. You sold your land. You gave it to the apostles. You laid it down for distribution. Boy, he was a son of consolation. Great. I mean, listen, pillar. He said, what you want you to do? You go to from Jerusalem. Now, I want you to go to Antioch, Syria, not Pisidia. Don't get them mixed up. Go to Antioch, Syria. And I want you to go up there and see what's going on. Look at your Bible. The Bible said there, when he come up there to Antioch, and the Bible said there in verse 23, who when he came, what did he see? He seen the grace of God. And then what he said, he was glad. He exhorted them all with purpose of heart. They would cleave unto the Lord. Then the Bible tells us about his life. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, faith. Much people were added to the Lord. Then what happened? He said, I need help. You know, we preachers, we got to realize we must delegate authority, responsibility. My wife tells me all the time, you are not Superman. Amen, sister. You're not Superman. I'm not Superman. Thank God, my friend, Dr. Spivey. He and I work together, co-partners, my friend, on the same team, for the same purpose and the same plan, the will of God. And when my friend, listen, you're as strong as those under you. And so what happened? You go up there, Barnabas, check it out. Then what happened? He saw such a move of God. He said, I got to have help. So what did he do? He traveled 40 miles north. He come up here to Tarsus. You know what he found? He found Saul of Tarsus. He had been up there 5 to 8 years. What has he been doing? Fishing? No, he's been church planting. There's been churches started. I can show you in the book of Acts. But the Bible said here, and then not only preaching, soul winning, but look in verse 26. And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And then the Bible said, taught discipleship. You know one of the reasons why you take on a missionary, you're supporting a missionary. Brother Cooley will be going out west, and he'll get disciples, people get saved, and then he'll want to disciple them, train them, mentor them. Well, you know what? Brother Cooley don't need to be out there. We're just going to drop him. Our commitment needs to be strong. We need to be committed. Paul said there in Acts 20, what mean you to weep and to break my heart? For I'm not only ready to be bound and to die at Jerusalem. The Bible said when he would not be persuaded, can your family persuade you otherwise? Can your finances persuade you otherwise? Can your feelings, my friend, persuade you otherwise? And when they saw his resolve, and when they saw his resolute, and when he could not be persuaded, though they tried, they said, plural pronoun, the will of the Lord be done. People need to see your commitment. They need to see, my friend, your persuasiveness. And anyway, oh my. All right, we got him up there. Amen. We got Tarsus. We got Saul now. So let's go to chapter 13. I got 7 points. I'm going to get to them. Amen. I promise you. We'll run through them fast. Now, notice with me, before you do that, turn to Romans 15. If you do that for me, it'll help me. Look in Romans 15. And the Bible said in Romans 15, Brother Cooley, give me 30 copies today on the book of Romans. And his notes and stuff, we're going to put him into Bible college at Malaba. But notice the Bible said here, Paul's writing to the church at Rome. And we know that in verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, preposition by the power of the Spirit of God. Now the book of Acts is a transitional book, you know that, from, we will say, from the kingdom to the church, from law to grace, from the Jew to the Gentile. Breaking down that middle wall of partition. And you find that, listen, hey, God used Peter, Acts 2, Acts chapter number 8, Acts chapter number 10. And we find here in the Word of God, we see in the Bible here, the Bible said here, so that by the Spirit of God, God used, there were sign gifts, Mark 16, operative in that transitional period. I'd love to get off and all that now. But we find, he said, and from Jerusalem. And then he said, and roundabout. Now, my understanding, Brother Cooley, the roundabout incorporated Acts 13:14. When the church of Antioch, Syria, in Acts 13:2, now God birthed that church. God raised up this church. God sent you this man. You're in a missions meeting and you're praying about your faith to be increased. Take home more missionaries. Increase the missionary support. The Bible said in Acts 13:2, as a minister to the Lord, and they fasted. How hungry are you? How thirsty are you? What do you want to see God do from this mission meeting? From this mission meeting. You're at the threshold. Oh, listen, of helping to fulfill the Great Commission of Matthew 28 and the resurrection. He said, all the world. In the book of Mark 16, you'll find, my friend, he said, to every creature. The ascension is infinite. He said, every creature. And then there in the latter part of that chapter, he said, every creature, everywhere. That means just not the missionary. You got to reach your Jerusalem and your Judea and then your Samaria. And then with the missionaries, you're going to do the uttermost part. And so as a minister of the Lord, and they fasted, I love this right here, the Holy Ghost said. What's the Holy Ghost saying in your life? What's the Holy Ghost saying to you? Holy Ghost told me, so take on three national pastors. Holy Ghost told me to support C-Line and Ashton $100 a month. Holy Ghost of God told me to take on Bible Literature Missionary Foundation $100 a month. You know, me and Dr. Spivey, he supports Mexico, same thing. He and I give to the radio station, and we don't take a salary, no salary. We do it out of love and obedience for the Lord, what God wants us to do. As a minister of the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, Saul, for the world, and I call them. And then the Bible said that when they laid hands on them, you see, the Bible said, in other words, God calls, and then the church sent out from Antioch. And there they go now, but that roundabout covered 10 years, 10,000 miles, by foot, by animal, by boat. What are we doing to get out the Word of God? I've stood between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. I remember my friend in Jerusalem, there from in the Gospel of John, as our Lord left from Jerusalem, or Galilee to Jerusalem, and then to Samaria, and he walked 34 miles to Jacob's well. Seven times he spoke to that woman. In seven words, he said, I that speak unto them, he, you're looking at the Messiah. She left her water pot, ran into the city and said, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Our Lord, what he did. But in Acts 13, they bring him out to Seleucia, that little seaport 16 miles south of Antioch. I imagine Brother Cooley one day will have that. They'll send him off and they'll hug his neck and cry and send him off. And all Paul and Barnabas, John Mark come, kin to Barnabas. And there they come from Seleucia, 16 miles south to Seleucia to Salamis, travel 80 miles, come to Cyprus, cross Cyprus or Paphos. And you find as they come through, go to Pergamum, Pamphylia. Go to Antioch, Pisidia. Come southeast to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And all of that's been estimated at 2,000 miles. 2 years in time. Now, I may get back to the roundabout, and I may not. But the roundabout, second missionary campaign, Acts 15:41, Then Saul said unto Barnabas, let us go again. It's on success. You don't stop on success. God's been good to this church. God's been good to your ministry. God's blessed and, my friend, his hands upon you. But you don't stop on success. We had a great meeting. But all now, Acts 16, Philippi 17, Thessalonica 18, Corinth, Centura. 4 years, 4,000 miles. 1920, right at 21 there. You're going to find 4 years, 4,000 miles. I could get into the epistles and what journeys they were written, where he wrote them from, and the dates. Interesting. But I want to show you these. The backward journey now. Can I show you that just for a few minutes? Go with me to Acts chapter 14, where I was at a moment ago. This is when, after Paul is stoned in Acts chapter number 14. And the Bible said here, verse 21, the missionaries coming back. And notice the Bible said, and when they had preached the gospel to that city. Number one is preaching. The proclamation of the word of God. And then number two, there's notice he said, and had taught, again, discipleship. Taught many. They returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Then number three, notice the participle. The Bible said confirming. That's confirmation. To strengthen the body of Christ. The souls of the disciples. And then number four, there's exhortation, exhort him. And the Bible said they're exhorting them to continue the faith. We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Oh, my friend Jesus, in Luke 14, he gave three qualifications. He talked about, my friend, listen, not leaving your family. He talked about cross bearing. He talked about forsaking finances. It's like our brother quit his job. God told him he left his job. Then in John 8, he said, if you continue, then are you my disciples. In John 11, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another, how strong are we as a disciple? We're a saint. We're a believer. We're a brother. We're a Christian. But saints, disciples. The Bible said here in this verse, in Acts 14, he said, all tribulation. Take your Bible a moment. It's all right. Take your Bible. I'm going to have to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. Turn your Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Look in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter number, number 11. Paul, he said, Ananias, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. But I'm going to show him he must suffer. He made others to suffer. And he's going to suffer. And the Bible said here, from verse 24 down to verse 27, there's 23 things listed. In these verses right here. 23 things. Notice he said of the Jews five times, received I 40 stripes, save one. If I've added them up just with the one, five times 39, that's 195 lashes. 195 lashes. 23 numerically means death. And here is Saul riding to the church in Corinth. He wrote 1 Corinthians from Ephesus. He wrote 2 Corinthians from Macedonia. He wrote the book of Galatians, the book of Romans from there, from Corinth. But all this is listed But the book of Acts does not record it all. It's not in there. I'll show you something. Go to Acts 20. In Acts 20, if you notice in Acts chapter 20, and the Bible said here in Acts 20, go back over there fast. And notice your Bible said in verse 2 or verse 1, you have Macedonia. You'll find St. Corinthians, you come to Greece in verse 2. And you'll find, my friend, there you see that from Greece. And, of course, you find Corinth. And he's writing, my friend, the book of Galatians, the book of Romans. Now, here's my whole thinking. If Paul wrote about 23 things, and he wrote it from 2 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians was written in Acts 20, AD 60. All that happened before Acts 20. The question that I ask you, and Dr. King hit on it, is sacrifice. What Paul is going through for the gospel. Most of us read Fox's Book of Martyrs and Scott's Worthies. They're from Europe. But the Scots and the martyrs of yesteryear. And I think about my own life. What am I giving up? What am I sacrificing? What is it costing me? Go with me to Second Corinthians. Notice what he said in verse 28. In verse 28 he said, beside those things, Paul, what do you mean, the without? 23 things, the without. He read them. I wrote them to Second Corinthians, the church. I listed the 23 things beside those things without. But then in Acts 20, I mean, it's in 2 Corinthians there, he said, without, and then that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches, within and without. And I see here on the backward journey the importance of the proclamation to propagate the gospel and to train and teach and disciple and then to strengthen and to confirm and then to exhort them. Oh, listen, to my friend be the exhorter. Why is it? Why is it that pride and jealousy and high-mindedness has to enter in? Oh, I don't want God. I want God to bless me and not you. I don't want you to succeed. I don't want you to win souls. I don't want you to have any kind of recognition. Because I'm a Diotrephes. And I want to have the preeminence. I want to be the big shot in the fundamental group. I am the Pope. You want me to sign your Bible? Oh, listen. Bible. Notice your Bible said, go on to Acts 14. I got to get through here. So you find verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders, ordination in every church. I was reading the Haley's Bible Handbook. In Haley's Bible Handbook, now I personally believe that Paul, of course, there in Jerusalem, he was taken and seized to Caesarea. I've been there, those dungeons. And then the 10 defense sermons. And then the year route to Rome. There he is. He writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. We believe, I know some differ, but I believe that he was released, acquitted. Then he wrote 1 Timothy. I do not believe he went to I don't believe he left Titus there in Crete in the en route to Rome. I don't think he had that privilege. But I believe now Titus in Crete, and he says, ordain elders in every city. And Titus had his Bible handbook, according to their, said there was 100 cities in that area. You've seen 76 cities. You're seeing 76 cities tonight. I showed you of churches that's been started. Buildings. 195 church plants. 479 worldwide. And in Mexico, how many, Dr. Spivey? 101? 175. In every church. You know what we're not seeing? Where's all the preachers at today? Where's all the young men surrendering the call to preach? Where are the Bible colleges turning out missionaries like they used to in the 70s when I was at Tabernacle? My friend, listen, 250 students, 300, and my friend, missionaries galore with a call of God and a burden to go to the field where God called them to do whatever vocation God put it upon them. But you know what? I'm not against traditional missions. I am for Americans going to the field. But I don't believe the Americans by themselves are going to get the job done. You've got to train men. My friend, taught many. Dr. King asked me, he said, where do you get your preachers? I said, well, they come through our churches. And they're trained in our college. And they're housed. And they go out with the call of God upon them in the city of the place where the Lord has called them to go. Oh, listen here, in the book of Acts, the Bible said they ordained elders in every church. But then, notice your Bible said there was a returning. They were sent out from Antioch. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. There was that rehearsing. And then there was the returning. They were sent out, and they came back to the church of Antioch, Syria. And when they gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how the Lord had opened the door of faith on the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time. That's the backward journey. They went through. They turned around and they came back. My friend, listen. Paul Stone in Lystra, God raised him up. He mentions it in Second Corinthians, the stone in there. He talks about the rods, part of the Romans. And he talks about the scourging, the shipwrecks, and all kind of stuff that took place. I wonder what it is tonight. I remember when I got saved, me. Boy, put a heart, burden on my heart. I got saved in a little Southern Baptist church. Brother Piercy, I was raised in a drunkard's home. My stepdaddy had a fifth every night and a half a gallon on the weekends. And when I was born, my mother gave me away. And then my mother came and stole me when I was in the fifth grade from my grandma. Listen. And then I got off into drugs. A rebel of rebels. I cannot get into all that, but I, in convulsions and overdose and drug into the Cobb County Hospital, die almost dead. Nerve pills and all of that. And I was low. And then that little white church, I'd pass by. And boy, God was drawing me. I'd never been there, never been in that little church. And I walked in there on a Sunday morning, platform shoes, bell-bottom breeches, silk shirt, puff sleeve, long hair, in a pea green 383 pistol grip Super B. And on that Sunday morning, I come out of that pew like a fullback in football. God saved me. I don't want to go to hell. And he regenerated me, sanctified me, and justified me, and sealed me with the Holy Ghost. And all I said was, God save me. And then I met my wife-to-be 3 months later. Got her in church. She got saved. We got married. In 1974, she was 16 in the 11th grade. And God called me to preach in 74. And then in 75, God put in my heart. I never had a daddy. Never had structure. Never had what a lot of people have. Never had the home life. Boy, to be under good men of God that looked beyond what I was. Believed in me, and listen, they exhorted me and confirmation strengthened me, taught me. And then when God called me and I went to Tabernacle, I asked Dr. Aiken when I preached the mission conference at Tabernacle years back, I said, preacher, I want to ask you something. I said, Dr. Seidler said something to me. I just want to know if he said it to everybody. And he said, I said, what did he say? I said, well, I said, he told me, he said, Brother Smith, he said, I believe in you. And boy, what volume from that general to believe in somebody like me. Oh, to have the sanction of heaven and to have the smile of God. Yes, we want approval of our mentors. That believe and, that applaud us and love us. Can you imagine John Mark Peter for 12 years has said by reports that Peter restored John Mark. 2 Peter talks about Babylon. Talks about Mark as my son. Who would have been no better? I mean, there, Peter, on Caesarea Philippi, you said, thou the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're there, Peter, James, and John. There, my friend, of the Mount of Transfiguration. You walked on the water. And then come to Caiaphas' house. You denied him 3 times, but on the lake of Sea of Tiberias, lake of Gennesareth, he spoke to you them 3 times. Feed my sheep, my lambs. Oh, my friend, and then God used him there in Acts 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts 10. What I'm trying to say is this. John Mark, bring John Mark. He's profitable for me in the ministry. Oh, we could go on. It's 9:35. Let's all stand. Preacher, you come. I'll let you close it out.